Will you pray with me? O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, here we are on that first Sunday in Advent. Can you believe it? Is time passing a little more quickly for you? What happened to Thanksgiving? You know, is it over already? We still have turkey in our refrigerator. Hope you do too. But what this means, of course, to you and I, is that we need to get busy getting busy. Christmas is coming. Make sure you got that pressure just turned up, okay? You don't want to miss any of that. Are you ready for all the hoopla? Are you ready for the shopping? Are you ready for the struggling for parking places? Are you ready for buying presents? Are you ready for buying food, preparing food, inviting people? Are you ready for all that? No? Okay. I don't know about you, but mostly I'm just tired. I'm just tired and I'm a bit overwhelmed in light of it all. At least I was till I walked in here this morning and I told you, you guys have just sort of turned me around and I'm grateful for that. But when I look ahead at these next 24 days, they look to me like a lot of work. How about you? Yeah? Okay, come on, you can be honest with me. It's all right, you know. In fact, let me be honest and tell you that they feel a bit more like a burden than they do like a blessing in this moment. There's so much to be done, so much to be accomplished, so many things to be attended to. I wonder if maybe I've just lived through too many Christmases. I wonder if maybe I won't be able to rally my weary spirit again this year. I wonder if maybe I've lost my sense of wonder. Anybody else here feel like that? There's a woman named Andre Peterson, and she wrote an article that I read recently. She told a story in there that she picked up from Aaron Sorkin, the screenwriter. I liked it a lot. It turns out that there are two newborn babies, and they're lying side by side in a hospital nursery, and they glance at each other. 90 years later, through a remarkable series of circumstances, the two end up lying side by side in the same hospital room once again. They look at each other, and one of them says, "So what'd you think?" Remember what Christmas was like when you were a kid? Do you remember how it felt? Do you remember all that thrill? All the excitement, all the joy, all the promise. You remember that? Can you still access that somewhere? And then year by year, as you grow up, all of that excitement, all that enthusiasm, all that joy, all that promise, it gives way in the face of adult responsibilities. Instead of anticipating the big day, we're worried about being ready. Boy, that's a terrible place to be, isn't it? Instead of looking joyously forward to gifts, we're dreading the buying, the wrapping, the mailing, and of course the credit card bills that follow it all. And on the spiritual side of things, there's the guilt, right? Can we still access the beauty and the promise of the child, or have we just seen too many Christmases? And if we don't feel like we have been spiritually uplifted, then we just sink further into our guilt and we go, "Oh gosh, I must not be very faithful. I must be weak." Have we just seen too many Christmases? Too many to feel the glow of that singular hope again. Too many for our hearts to skip a beat one more time in the starlight. Is that where we are? Is that what the gift of this season looks like? Have we too long disregarded Christmas and taken advantage of Christ, the reason for it? Have we lost our sense of joy? Have we misplaced our expectations? John the Baptist gives us a job. Prepare the way of the Lord, he says. And then he gives us a promise, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. In the next few minutes, I want to do the first, that we all might know the second, that salvation of God. I want to read you a story. I'm in danger of seeming like a one-trick pony. For those of you that attended the Thanksgiving service, I read a story then too. And they're children's stories. They're always children's stories. It's as far as my reading has advanced. I'm already wondering what I could read you next week. But this one, you may know this. This book's called The Giving Tree. It's by Shel Silverstein. Interesting story. I want to just share this with you. And believe, this is going somewhere. At least I hope it is. You'll be the judge of that. But once there was a tree. Let's see if we can get it. Yep, there it is. Once there was a tree. And she loved a little boy. And every day the boy would come. And he would gather her leaves. And make them into crowns. And he'd play king of the forest. He would climb up her trunk. And swing from her branches. And eat apples. And they would play hide and go seek. And when he was tired, he would sleep in her shade. And the boy loved the tree very much. And the tree was happy. But time went by, and the boy grew older, and the tree was often alone. Then one day the boy came to the tree, and the tree said, "Come, boy, come and climb up my trunk and swing from my branches and eat apples and play in my shade and be happy." "I'm too big to climb and play," said the boy. "I want to buy things and have fun. I want some money. Can you give me some money?" "I'm sorry," said the tree, "but I have no money. I have only leaves and apples. Take my apples, boy, and sell them in the city. Then you will have money and you will be happy." And so the boy climbed up the tree and he gathered her apples and he carried them away and the tree was happy. But the boy stayed away for a long time and the tree was sad. And then one day the boy came back and the tree shook with joy. And she said, "Come, boy, climb up my trunk and swing from my branches and be happy." "I'm too busy to climb trees," said the boy. "I want a house to keep me warm," he said. "I want a wife and I want children, and so I need a house. Can you give me a house?" "I have no house," said the tree. The forest is my house. "But you may cut off my branches and build a house. Then you will be happy." And so the boy cut off her branches and carried them away to build his house. And the tree was happy. But the boy stayed away for a long time. And when he came back, the tree was so happy she could hardly speak. "Come, boy," she whispered, "come and play." I'm too old and sad to play," said the boy. "I want a boat that will take me far away from here. Can you give me a boat?" "Cut down my trunk and make a boat," said the tree. "Then you can sail away and be happy." And so the boy cut down her trunk and made a boat and sailed away. And the tree was happy, but not really. And after a long time, the boy came back again. "I'm sorry, boy," said the tree, "but I have nothing left to give you. My apples are gone. My teeth are too weak for apples," said the boy. "My branches are gone," said the tree. "You cannot swing on them." "I'm too old to swing on branches," said the boy. "My trunk is gone," said the tree. "You cannot climb." "I'm too tired to climb," said the boy. "I'm sorry," sighed the tree. "I wish that I could give you something, but I have nothing left. I'm just an old stump. I'm sorry. I don't need very much now," said the boy. "Just a quiet place to sit and rest. I am very tired." "Well," said the tree, straightening herself up as much as she could, "well, an old stump is good for sitting and resting. Come, boy, sit down and rest." And the boy did. And the tree was happy. The end. A I'm sure that you can plug the gaps. I'm sure that you can connect the dots. Because its story is really a parable, isn't it? And it's not hard to read Silverstein's story and think of that tree as Christmas, ready to unfailingly offer its promise again and again, and the potential that we continue to take and take in our self-absorbed ways. Now, I confess, I have mixed feelings about the story. I have mixed feelings about what it all means in the end. Is the ending for the boy God's blessing of rest from the labors of his life? Or is it just a final temptation? What a cruel, soothing delusion the devil whispers to the dispirited chaser of worldly fantasies. I don't need very much now. Just a quiet place to sit and rest. I'm very tired. Phooey. I say phooey. How long has it been since you heard that? If that's what you're hearing this Christmas, I'm here to shake your tree, to tell you that that's the devil's own lie. It is. You see, you and me, all of us, do need something. So long as blood flows and breath lasts, we do need something. And it's the same thing we've always needed, had we but had the good sense to recognize it. There are lots and lots and lots of ways to be lost, but there's only one way to be found. It's Christmas. It's Christmas. And a new promise of the Christ child, bred of the Holy Spirit and born of the manger. One of the earliest hymns of the Christian church appears in the letter to the Ephesians, the 5th chapter, the 14th verse. Here it is simply, "Rise and shine, sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." If you feel this morning like you have simply survived or endured too many Christmases, if you feel like your joy is lost, if you feel like it's all burden, I'm here to tell you that you need this one worse now than you know. I'm also here to tell you that your church is doing everything it can to strengthen your spirit and open your heart to receive the infant King. We have devotionals out there, we talked about them, for use for your personal private preparation for the big day. And we have the Wednesday night WOW series, The Miracle of Christmas. And weekly worship services filled with scripture and song and prayer. And the celebration singers will be sharing Messiah with us in just a couple of weeks. We have a special Sunday morning planned for you with traditional lessons and carols, something with which we're all familiar, a touchstone from our history. And we have the stroll in the glow next Saturday evening, complete with the petting zoo and the little kids and the nativity scene and the fellowship of one another gathered round. And we have two very different Christmas Eve services, one at 4:00, that's the family service, and one at 7:00, that's the candlelight service. All this is for you. All this is to help you prepare for this day. All of this is to help move you out of the world and into the new world of the infant Christ. So sleeper, awake. Open your eyes to the promise of the season. Open your eyes to the improbability of the story. Open your eyes to the wonder of that starlit night. Open your eyes to the hope of that child. The author of Hebrews promises us that today is the day of salvation. That's what his text says. Do not harden your hearts, he says. Take care that none of you turns away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partners of Christ if only we hold our first confidence firm to the end. We have become partners of Christ if only we hold our first confidence to the end. Sleeper, awake. Advent is no time to surrender to deadly resignation. Hold on. The plan is being fulfilled. The Christ child is coming. He's coming for you, and he's coming for me, and he's coming for the entire weary world. This might not just be your next Christmas. This could very well be your best Christmas. Amen.